Live, on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh here at Wisconsin Media Row at the 2024 Republican National Convention at Panther Arena in downtown Milwaukee, not far from Lake Michigan here. And this is the arena where the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee men's and women's basketball team plays, also the Admirals hockey team as well. We are here for day four of the Republican National Convention, where tonight former President Donald J. Trump will give his acceptance speech in hopes of returning to the White House for a second term. Meanwhile, today, a big political story across America may not be here in Milwaukee, but rather in Delaware and in Washington, D.C., where more and more Democratic leaders, among them Nancy Pelosi, Hakeem Jeffries, Adam Schiff, and Chuck Schumer, have either directly or through quote-unquote leaks, have said they are urging the current president, Joe Biden, to step aside and let someone else become the Democratic nominee. Here to give us a take on all of that, our guests right now, we appreciate them making time joining us via StreamYard, Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and also Christian Jensen, former member of parliament and minister of foreign affairs in Denmark. He is now the CEO of Green Power Denmark. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. I appreciate you making time for us here today. Reed, I want to start with you, if we can. You're someone who has your pulse on Republican politics, certainly as a co-founder of the Lincoln Project. Trevi Olson's been here all this week. What is your take as a former Republican operative who knows this party better than most people? What do you make of J.D. Vance's speech last night and the current tone of what used to be your and my party, which Trevi Olson called now the capitulation to the mega party?
And first and foremost, thanks for having me, Todd. Second, I agree with Trigby. I think that, you know, there was always a little bit of, there was an ember of hope for many years, you know, after Trump took over the party in 2015 and 2016, that somehow, you know, someone like a Nikki Haley would somehow, you know, rescue what had been, I think, a very, you know, a party that provided a conservative governing vision. That's gone now. It is part of Donald Trump's MAGA authoritarian movement, unfortunately, and the Republican Party is its political wing. And so I think this week in Milwaukee just solidifies that after many, many years.
What do you make of what's happening out in Washington, D.C.? I know you spent most of your time, obviously, in the Republican Party, but, you know, at Lincoln Project, you guys are pretty well connected, too. What do you make of these Democratic leaders, amongst them Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, the list goes on, some of them directly, some indirectly through quote-unquote leaks? You know better than most how these leaks go. They don't get leaked unless somebody wants them leaked. What do you make of this? I mean, is what's your sense? Is Joe Biden, is he toast as the nominee, or is he going to just hang in there and be belligerent?
I think there's only probably one person, Todd, that knows that, and his name is Joe Biden. I think that there are a lot of people who want to have an opinion. I think there are very few people whose opinion will matter. I think the people like Nancy Pelosi that you mentioned are probably on that list. But what I would say is this, is that for all of my friends in the Democratic Party or all of our friends and allies in the pro-democracy movement, the president will have to make this decision. Ultimately, the Democrats will have to decide how to proceed one way or the other, if it's President Biden or, say, Vice President Harris. What I would say is that while that is happening, do not give more running room to Donald Trump and now J.D. Vance as the nominees of the Republican Party. We must keep the pressure on them. We must continue to show the American people just what a second Trump term would look like. And I think, Todd, it's important to understand that even after all of this, after the debate, after Donald Trump surviving an assassination attempt, most Americans still know what Donald Trump represents. A majority of them don't like it, even now. And so what I would say is this, is that the Democrats, yes, it's tough. It's tougher now than it was a couple of weeks ago. But this race is still close, and it's still close because Donald Trump is expressing and avowing a future that, frankly, a lot of Americans don't want anything to do with.
And I think what you bring up, Reed, is what a frustration by a lot of independents and certainly Democrats out there that, look, this is unprecedented. We have a 34-time convicted felon. We have a guy who's found liable of sexual assault, basically rape in legal terms, a guy who is a criminal. We have a vice presidential nominee on the Republican side, J.D. Vance, who George Stephanopoulos pinned down on this week and said that he would not have done what Mike Pence did on January 6th, which is certify the 2020 election. He wouldn't have done it. He would have chosen Donald Trump over the U.S. Constitution, and audio of J.D. Vance saying that he would get rid of civil service, essentially do what Project 2025 wants, and put in, quote-unquote, our people. And yet, because the Democrats can't get their stuff together or Joe Biden can't make a decision, we're talking more about that than the things I just mentioned.
Well, I think that's right, Todd, and I think that's why it's so important that for those of us who do have the voices and the ability to talk to those voters that you're talking about, it's that we continue to remind them exactly what you're talking about. The vision that Donald Trump and now J.D. Vance have for the United States is one fundamentally different than what we've had to now. If most Americans are upset with their choices between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, I get it, right? After all this time, you know, I think that most of us feel like we deserve better than the two choices we've been offered, but that's where we are for now. I think what's most important now is to say, okay, on November 6th, what is the world going to look like? Is it going to look like something that we understand and certainly needs changing and certainly needs updating for the second quarter of the 21st century? Or are we going to go to a very dark place, one that we don't recognize, one that I'm afraid, Todd, all too many people won't understand until and unless they see it?
Let's turn to our friend Christian Jensen. Mm-hmm. Christian and I have known each other 20 years plus. He joins us live from the great country, I have to say, of Denmark. He is a former member of parliament in Denmark. He served, amongst other leadership positions, as Minister of Foreign Affairs. He is now CEO of Green Power in Denmark. Christian, always good to see you. Sorry it's under these weird circumstances in American history, but help us understand a little bit. Mm-hmm. I know you don't speak for all of Denmark. I know you don't speak for all of the EU. But in your role, particularly in the past as foreign minister, you met with Putin, you met with Assad, met with Joe Biden when he was vice president. What's your take on what's happening in American politics right now as the world watches?
Well, seeing from the outside, American politics has just gone crazy. It's totally crazy. The idea of J.D. Vance being vice president is crazy, but the whole issue of having these two running again, Trump and President Biden running again against each other. We hoped in 2020 that we now would have a decision and we could move on. Joe Biden introduced himself as a transition period, a transition person, but the transition has not come. We're seeing a rematch 4 years ago. And I don't think that anyone in Europe really understands why we end up with these two guys once again.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what happened, whether it was what happened in the UK, and Labour has won there for the first time in well over a decade. Look what happened in France, where the far right party kind of won early, but Macron's party kind of came back to build this coalition. Is it, what's your sense right now in the EU, Christian, as a leader over there? What's the sense there politically versus the United States?
Well, the sense is that even though we're going close to the brink, in the end, the European citizens will come back to the center and to the more rational politicians. They've done that in France. They've done that in UK, where the Conservatives in the United Kingdom was just being totally whacked with the Boris Johnson and the Brexit wing taking over the party. Mm. What we're seeing is that the center in the European Parliament, in France, in UK, also in Italy, where you might say it's a right-wing prime minister, but she's less right-wing than the Italian brothers. Sorry, Lega, which was the larger right-wing party before. So Europeans, one, they've faced the brink, they're going back to normality. And we're so much hoping that US will come along, because what we need in this world of today is a Europe and a US working together. The reason why US has been so successful since the Second World War is that US and Europe has set the standards of the world in trade, in human rights, in justice, in international law. US and Europe has worked together. And that's why US has such a tremendous impact on the entire world, and why US has set the norms and standards for the rest of the world. If US will draw back to what J.D. Vance said in his acceptance speech the other night, it would be a more frightening world. It would be a world where countries like Russia and China and other countries of autocrats will be able to have a larger say in the world. And that will, at the end, also hit the American people.
Reed Galen, about 2 minutes left here before our first break. Now you guys can, hopefully you can both join us on the other side, only a minute-long break. But Reed, talk just for a minute and a half or so. There were placards last night here in Milwaukee that said Trump will end the war in Ukraine, and that's not through diplomacy. It's basically, in his words, giving Putin, quote, whatever the hell he wants. That ain't the Republican Party of Ronald Reagan.
It's not. It is not peace through strength. It is not democracy first. It is not the United States as the city on the hill. And I think one thing to echo in Christian's remarks, too, is that I think that we have done a bad job as political leaders and spokespeople, Todd, of expressing to individual Americans just what it means for the United States to be the leader of the world and all of the things that come along with that. And I think it's very easy to say we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, we shouldn't be involved in Ukraine, or we shouldn't be involved in Europe, we shouldn't be involved in the Pacific because, you know, we need to spend our money here. Okay, I mean, I can make an argument for infrastructure as well as anybody, but we don't understand that, right, you know, whether or not it's freedom of the seas, whether or not it's the rule of law, all of the things that we, frankly, as the hegemon, right, as the A number one country in the world, Todd, we take for granted. That stuff starts to go away in a version of the world in which Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are now rolling up America, bringing it back to the coast and saying, no, we don't want anything. That works out bad for every American.
Works out bad for every American. The good news is Christian said he has a bed for me over in Denmark if things go south. Come back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's Reed Galen of the Lincoln Project and Christian Jensen at Denmark. It's the All Ball Show here in Milwaukee on Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show, live from Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in downtown Milwaukee. We are talking with Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and also Christian Jensen, former member of Parliament and Minister of Foreign Affairs for the country, the great country of Denmark, now CEO of Green Power in Denmark. Christian, let's pick up what Reed said there just before the break. I think he's absolutely right. I think that as Americans, we've gotten too comfortable and we just don't understand what our status is in terms of around the world. In your opinion, as someone who's traveled around the world as foreign minister, Minister of Foreign Affairs in the past, what are the hot spots? What are the international concerns for folks that still believe in democracy right now?
Well, first of all, it is to whom do people look with admiration and desire to be like them? Do they look to the Americans? Do they look to the United States? Do they look to Europe? Or do they look to Russia and China or Middle East? The autocrats is setting the tone. Because as long as you're looking to the US or to Europe, they want to have a society like ours, with the freedom of speech, the rule of law agreements. If they're looking at other places, then all the investments that we have done as a company or as a pension fund or as a country in other countries might be at risk. The reason why we today can invest freely across the world is because everyone is playing by the rule book that US and Europe has been written over the last 80 years. But if suddenly someone else is writing the rule book, who knows what will happen to the way we invest, the respect of human rights, the respect of respect for Americans that are tourists in other countries. You have seen what Russia has been doing to American journalists. If American is not being trusted and slash or feared around the world, who will respect the American passport anymore? So in my view, it is so important that America continue to be a country that people aspire to be like and also have a respect for the political leaderships of those countries. In those countries.
Explain, Christian, if there's a vacuum. Well, let's say that, you know, people like J.D. Vance and Trump, you know, they take this, you know, isolationist approach and say, we don't give a damn about Ukraine. If Putin wants it, he can have it. What replaces that American, you know, involvement? What's going to happen to places like Europe if that kind of agenda goes forward?
There will never be a political power vacuum. As soon as someone is stepping out of the plate, another country will try to come in. There will always be countries trying to take that spot that US has today. And you can see how China has played a role in the Middle East, where the United States normally has been the largest voice in the Middle East and doing peace agreements. China has stepped in. That has an impact on where the oil from the Middle East is going. That has an impact on where the investments from the oil country is going in the future. So America is losing out because it's not been involved there in the same level. And what we see is the long-term effect of isolation. The effect doesn't come year one or year two. It comes year 5 or 10, 16 down the road. Because when countries are retreating, others will fill the gap. And what I fear is that Europe has to do much more on its own, and we will be ready to do so. The president of the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has just been re-elected today, meaning that she's ready to step in as much as she can to fight for European countries, not for American people, but for European countries and Europeans if US is leaving the plate. So if you step, we'll try to come in.
Reid Galen, you've run political campaigns nationally on the Republican side. You know politics better than most. What you guys have done at the Lincoln Project, that we played the entire thing, was just over 4 minutes, what Rick Wilson narrated on Project 2025. The consequences of a second Trump presidency, how do we get the average American who is not political nerds like you and I to be interested in this? Do you have to just keep hitting them over the head? How do we get this message across?
Well, I think it's already seeping in, Todd. I was on a call yesterday with a group where someone noted that Project 2025 currently had more Google searches than even Taylor Swift at the moment. And that's saying
something.
And so I think that it is starting to get into the American consciousness. I think that's why you saw last week Donald Trump try to specifically step away from it. Now, we should remember, as Trigby's probably told you many times, that in authoritarian movements, this kind of head fake or tactical retreat is normal. But many of the people that are speaking in Milwaukee, are part of this. You know, I think it's 33 former members of his administration, some number like that, have been deeply involved in constructing it. But I think it's important to ask Americans, and even frankly ask Donald Trump and J.D. Vance, because I think this is not only part of Project 2025, but also part of their stated platform this week, is when you say mass deportation, what does that mean? Mr. President, Donald Trump, Mr. Vance, when you say mass deportation, what do those words actually mean? Tell us. And my guess is, Todd, they're not going to want to tell you, because the idea of trying to round up somewhere between, say, 9 and 12 million people and pushing them out of the United States is one that, you know, tell me the car, the train, the boat, the plane that holds those many, that many people. Tell me where you're going to put those people. Tell me how you're going to identify those people. Tell me, once you've identified them, how are you going to get them? And I think what you start to see is even something like a mass deportation suddenly becomes a massive forced roundup of people who maybe have been here 6 months and maybe have been here 60 years. And so I think it's very important for us that have, again, the ability and the responsibility to tell the people what is going on here. I mean, think about this. Project 2025 says that for the first time in 30 years, we want to restart testing of nuclear weapons. Now, tell me who that's good for, yeah. Todd. I'm not sure it's really good for anybody. And I would venture to say, although I have no proof of this, that I think Donald Trump wants to see a mushroom cloud. I think he wants to feel the warm glow of an H-bomb on his pasty orange skin. Maybe pasty and orange don't go together, but you get my point. I think he wants to feel the power.
Yeah. If I could just add to that, don't forget the power of the incumbent party. Because when you're 6 months out or even 5 months out from an election, as we are right now, the opposition, the one who's not in power, has the freedom to say a lot of things that is not true and will never be true, because they are not in power. But as you get closer and closer to the election, both sides to come up with reliable suggestions on exactly what they're going to do. And then suddenly, you might dream that the other guy, the other party, that Trump and Vance will do what you think they will do. But the clearer it gets what they're actually going to do, the more you'll realize it was not what you dreamed of. And therefore, I've seen, and I've been running in 7 elections in Denmark, I've always seen that the incumbent party is gaining traction in the end of the campaign. So let's just cross those fingers and hope that this will be true again come November this year.
Have to leave it there. Reid Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project, and Christian Jensen, former Foreign Minister of Denmark. We thank you both. Have a great day. We'll see you soon. Stay with us on the other side. Truth, wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Lovell Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are being led to Wisconsin Media Row, as it turns out, at the 2024 Republican National Convention here in Panther Arena, home of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee men's and women's basketball team, also the Admirals hockey team here. We are just outside of Fiserv Forum proper, where the bulk of the convention is taking place. Panther Arena, basically across a vacant lot where they're doing some building right now. And so we have the great Wisconsin Media Row, thanks in large part to our friends over at Wisconsin Watch, who are going to talk to one of those folks in just a minute, Jack Kelly. But first of all, I know we have a couple of callers on the line. We want to wrap that part up. Bob listening in on WMDX in Madison. Bob, thank you so much for listening and hanging on. What say you?
Well, I say we should keep Biden because I think he's getting a bum rap on the debate. He talked about a cold, and all the symptoms look exactly like an overdose of antihistamine. He probably took too much cold medicine. And a lot of doctors don't even realize, but over age 65, the research shows that leads to confusion, weakness, and sleepiness. And he said he almost fell asleep, and he didn't know what was happening to him. And a doctor who first looked at him said, you're exhausted. So I think, you know, he stretched things too far, and you do that, you get a cold, and then you take a medication, and sometimes the side effects are the real problem. And I think that's what happened in the debate.
I appreciate the call, Bob. Have you seen last night the video footage of him going to his home in Delaware and getting off the plane there and then getting into his armored vehicle, the limo or the SUV? You still there, Bob?
Yeah.
Maybe Bob isn't there. Okay. Well, I saw last night after the debate coverage here, at least on ABC News, they had video of President Biden getting on the plane and he had to stop in the middle of the short stairs just to finish the walk. And then getting off, he was, I'll say, halting at best. And I think what concerned me the most is someone who had the opportunity, the privilege, the blessing of knowing all four of my grandparents and helping them as they aged. He stood outside the presidential limo, the SUV, and had to, like, try to lift his leg three or four times, like, attempts to get in. It was difficult for him just to get into the car. Now, I know that it's been reported that he has COVID-19. I know he's 81 years old, but to me, that was concerning. And I'm with you. As long as Joe Biden has a pulse, I will vote for him over what I'm seeing here at the RNC in Milwaukee, the agenda of Trump and Vance. But I do think the Democrats could do better in terms of having a more viable candidate in terms of perception. Joe Biden's mind might be fine. I don't know. But the perception of his age and his ability is going to, in my opinion, depress the excitement on the Democratic side. Because I'll tell you, being here for 4 days, there's no lack of excitement on this side of the aisle, on the Republican side. So I appreciate your comments, Bob, but I'm just sharing what I've seen here, what my thoughts are. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Tom in L.A. Tom, always a pleasure. What say you?
Good afternoon, Todd. Todd, hey, first, did you get a chance to take that quiz, select a candidate quiz?
I have not. I've got it written down. I promise you, at least by Monday, I will take the quiz. I just haven't had time, but I will. I appreciate it.
Okay, no problem. Second, I guess I don't understand why it is that all these people that we the people should be able to have a little bit of say or know about, why it is that they all have these private doctors? Why is it that it's not public records of what's going on with whether Donald Trump got nicked in the ear by a bullet or by part of the teleprompter?
Teleprompter,
or the glass. Or, Joe Biden and his situation. Why is it that we cannot know this information? That blows my mind away. I would think that all of that would be very, very public knowledge, and we the people should be able to demand, that type of information about our people that are going to be running our country. I don't get that. Is that something
I agree.
New? I mean, this is like...
No, I mean, I agree. I think we can ask Jack Kelly here from Wisconsin Watch. He's a great investigative reporter here. I guess I would say I think that one of the... And look, it's easy for me, right? Not being in front of the bright lights on national television. But if I had been coaching President Biden in that interview with George Stephanopoulos in Madison a couple weeks ago or after the debate, when Stephanopoulos said, would you be willing to take a cognitive test? And he kind of danced around it by saying, hey, I take one every day. I'm out there. He didn't really. Basically, the answer was no. If I would have been coaching Biden, I would have. When Stephanopoulos said, would you be willing to take a cognitive test? I would have said, as soon as Donald Trump goes to the same doctor on the same day with me, you better believe it. And say, I'm with you, Tom. Let's just put both their medical records out there and let's have it done with.
And let's make it public. Let's make it
right,
public.
Yeah, I totally agree. Tom, thank you so much. Always appreciate the call. 855-752-4842. Let's bring in our guest now, Jack Kelly from the great organization Wisconsin Watch. Jack, you're an investigative reporter. As a reporter, what do you think about this idea of just both of them saying, hey, let's release all these medical records?
I mean, first off, thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for being flexible today. It's been a wacky day, but thank you.
I mean, it's a tricky situation. I think that the questions that people are raising are real. I mean, they have concerns. And I think that, some of the footage that you've talked about, some of the performances that we've seen both in the debate, in interviews, events, primarily from President Biden. Obviously, President Trump has had his moments too, where he has made some flubs and mixed up some people when he was talking. I think those are fair. You know, it's a medical situation. You run into
HIPAA.
A tricky situation right. where people are entitled to their right to privacy in these moments. And I'm not a doctor.
Right.
I'm not in the position to assess the health of anybody. But there are definitely moments I think when you know, people have concerns, and I you know, I don't know if the Biden campaign has done enough to dispel those concerns.
And to Tom and Elliot's point, also the Trump campaign. I mean, there is some, look, I'm taking Trump at his word, but more so when President Biden said that Trump was hit in the ear by a bullet. Look, I'm not going to take him at the word. But there has been legitimate reporting, questions whether or not Trump's ear actually was grazed by the bullet, or whether when he was pushed to the ground by Secret Service that a teleprompter glass had broken and that caused the injury. I you know, it's 6 of 1 half a dozen of another. But to Tom's point, it would just be nice to have all the medical records out there. Normally, I understand the HIPAA laws of medical privacy, but this is for the most powerful position in the land.
Sure, I agree that it is interesting that, you know, we haven't gotten a definitive answer on that question. I think that there seems to be kind of the momentum seems to be going in that way. I feel like a lot more people, just even today compared to yesterday or earlier on in the week, are asking exactly that question. What happened? Because, I mean, right away on Saturday after the scary events that happened in Pennsylvania, there were, you know, credible reporters, some of the top-tier reporters, who were saying, actually, it looks like he wasn't hit by the bullet, that the bullet hit the teleprompter, the glass from the teleprompter exploded and hit him, you know, on the ear and the face.
Right.
So I guess, you know, hopefully we will get a better answer on that. But, you know, I guess it's kind of a tricky situation.
Right. Absolutely. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to June, listening in beautiful Cottage Grove. June, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Yes, I'm a little nervous calling into a show, but I'm
You're fine. We're friendly folks. Go ahead.
Well, I'm very upset with what's happening to Joe Biden. First off, I just want to remind people that he could have had a cushy retirement and decided to save the country in 2020. And as far as his walking, he fell over the dog and broke his ankle right after he got into the White House. His friends in Congress all went over to the cult, I'm sure, you know, and now his friends are, you know, they're stopping giving money. I'm a small donor. I give like $50, but I've given a lot in the last few years. I'm a widow. I'm on a fixed income. And yes, the big donors now don't want to give money, but I don't know if they've interviewed people like me. I've never been interviewed, and I feel I understand the risk. And I don't like it, and I'm very worried about the country. But I think we owe Joe Biden a lot. And now that even his friends are leaking news, this poor guy has gone through what no president has ever had to go through in a whole presidency of all the lies. And if he's depressed, deservedly so. So I'm just upset, and I frankly, you know, I don't have anything against Kamala, but I don't see her winning. If anybody had to take the place, I would think that Jeffries might be able to handle this. But I think if Joe Biden wants to run, we owe it to him, even understanding the risks. And so I'm so angry, even with the late night comedians, they've done more to hurt his image by just showing him all the time. So I'm angry at them as well. And I just have a lot of anger. And I'm loyal to Joe Biden, but I also saw what the Democrats did to Bernie, and they lost a lot of young people because of that. So if they're concerned about young people, they better start listening to the young people, too. I'm sorry.
June, I was going to say, June, for a first-time caller, you knocked it out of the park. I mean, you're fantastic. Please listen and call back more, because I think you do represent a lot of folks, and I think that it's being reflected in the polling, where even after all these things that have happened, we don't see a lot of drop-off in most polls for Joe Biden or for any other Democrat. Before we let you go, June, let me ask you this. If Biden would step down in the near future, are you kind of locked in and voting for any Democrat, you know, in opposition of Trump? Or how would you think about your vote should Biden step down?
Well, I would vote, but I have to say, and, you know, I have nothing against Kamala, but I have a hard time listening to her because sometimes it seems whiny to me. And but I'm seeing the same thing, especially with some of the women in the media, that they did with Hillary Clinton. And I voted for Hillary, but from the get-go, it was women frothing at the mouth for mm-hmm. Hillary. And I really felt at that time that she just wanted a coronation. And I'm still mad at her for not coming to Wisconsin. And I feel I'm seeing the media do the same thing now for Kamala, that they're just, you know, a lot of women just are acting the same way they did for Hillary. And I'm bothered by it because I think you need the best candidate. Like I say, I don't have anything against her, but I don't think she could win. And if there would be anybody, I would say Jeffries could really handle things.
June, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. Keep listening. Call back soon. Really appreciate it. Thanks, June. Also, a quick technical note here. Somebody tuned in, we appreciate it, that we crashed our Civic Media app. You know, we talk about it all the time. Apparently, it's down right now, so we're aware of it. Our wonderful crack engineering team is all over it.
Yes.
So if you're trying to listen to via the app, just know that we're down temporarily right now. Jack Kelly here a couple minutes before the next break. But what about June's point there? I thought she was well spoken, and I think it's reflective. Have you, in your reporting, have you seen kind of these Democrats just frustrated with what's going on right now?
A little bit. I think I've been hearing from more folks, and you know, I think I could always do a better job talking to everyday folks rather than, you know, the party types, the politicos, right. the operatives. I think this is an interesting moment. I think there are a lot of people that are frustrated now that Biden is so dug in this moment. And I also think it's, you know, an interesting inflection point for the president, right? Mm-hmm. He's been a lifelong public servant, you know, served in the Senate for decades, mm-hmm. served as vice president for 8 years, you know, became president in one of the most tumultuous times in American history. I think a lot of people will, you know, would agree with that assessment based on, you know, the pandemic and kind of the 4 years of the Trump presidency, which, you know, was just unprecedented on so many levels. I think it's an inflection point for Biden. How will you be remembered? Yeah. And I think that's maybe what he's weighing right now.
As Matt Flynn likes to say, we see you on the lines. Do not hang up. 855-752-4842. More phone calls. More from Jack Kelly at Wisconsin Watch and more from Wisconsin Media Row. You're listening to The All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We are live on Wisconsin Media Row at the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee from Panther Arena here at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. It is 10 before the hour of 2 o'clock. That's 10 minutes away from the great Maggie Dawn Show, the award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, coming up live from our Civic Media Broadcast Center here just off of the Fiserv campus in downtown Milwaukee. Maggie Dawn from 2 to 4 immediately following us. You do not want to miss it. Here joining us at the desk here in Panther Arena on Wisconsin Media Row, Jack Kelly from Wisconsin Watch. Going to get back to him in just a moment. But want to go back to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Dick listening on WMDX in Madison. Dick, what say you?
Well, June needs to call more often. Real quick.
Wasn't she great? June was fantastic.
Yeah, she was fantastic. The situation with the party, and I'm talking about the Republican Party, and they're saying, how did it morph all the way over to this? And my theory is this. I think they know the numbers are just not there. They really aren't. And I say that because look at all the things they do to try and suppress the vote. Mm-hmm. And what better way to suppress it completely is to get an authoritarian type in power that just basically refuses to leave once elected. Yeah. And I honestly think that he would do such a thing and stay there till the day he died and call off the next election. But that said, I just think that the party sees the numbers aren't really there.
I agree with you. I mean, as a former Republican. Right. I mean, I left the party in 2011. I saw it for myself, Dick. I mean, that's part of why they did these so-called voter ID bills that were voter suppression, because they knew that their ideas could not connect with 50% plus one. So the only way they can win is by suppressing the vote and then lying and dividing people.
Right. And then the secondly proof of that is When's the last time they won a presidential election with the, and I know I sound like a broken record, the first thing the Democrats do if they were to win again, get rid of the Electoral College, and you and I would not even be having a conversation. One person, yeah, one vote, he lost by over 3 million thing. Votes last time.
Right. Appreciate the call. Always a pleasure, Dick. Thank you so much. 855-752-4842. Also off the text line, Carmella in Milwaukee here says, Todd, first-time caller June knocked it out of the park. I stand with June on all her points, especially Democrats turning on Biden. Why can't our coalition against Trump unite like the MAGA cult, unquote. Thank you, Carmella. Always a pleasure. Let me just check here, Mr. Zauber. Is nobody else waiting on the line, correct?
We do have one. We have John in Milwaukee.
All right, very quickly, John, listening to WAUK in Milwaukee. John, what say you?
And our phone line is having some issues, so I will let you know when that's fixed.
All right, very good. Jack, let's talk a little bit. Jack Kelly here from Wisconsin Watch. You guys do great work. Really appreciate all your great journalism. What's your takeaway? You guys have been here all week. What's kind of your takeaway from this Republican National Convention in Milwaukee?
Yeah, Republicans are excited. Mm-hmm. You know, after the scary events of Saturday in Pennsylvania with the attempted assassination of former President Trump, I was wondering, you know, to myself, will there be a more somber atmosphere here at the convention? You know, when he made that walk out onto the floor on Monday night inside the arena and, you know, a live performance of God Bless the USA, it's like flipped a switch. And the party is throwing a party now. Yeah. And that's what it feels like. There has been really high energy. There seems to be a growing consensus among folks here that Trump just can't lose. He's going to win in November, and they believe that, especially if he's going to be running against Biden again. And so, you know, it's been really interesting to see it unfold. This is my first convention, and I've never seen a Republican Party so united. I mean, I did some reporting just a little bit more than a year ago talking about how, you know, Republicans in Wisconsin especially were in the wilderness and they couldn't win a statewide election and they were despondent. And here we are a year later and they feel invincible.
Keep me honest. Do you agree or disagree? To me, it goes beyond being unified. A lot of, if not most of the delegates and people here, they feel this is preordained from God. I mean, there is a theocracy tone here with the singers singing, you know, Christian evangelical praise songs to praying buses to, I mean, they believe, especially with Trump surviving Saturday, this is a message from God, in their opinion.
I have heard that from a few folks. We've heard it from some of the primetime speakers. I mean, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the governor of Arkansas, made pretty much that exact point that, you know, God gave the United States Donald Trump and decided on Saturday that he wasn't finished with Donald Trump doing work for the United States. And so, yeah, that has definitely been an undertone here. Obviously, you know, we're always going to see a much stronger presence of religion here at the RNC than we would at the DNC, just based on kind of the modern makeup of the parties. But yeah, I mean, it has certainly been noteworthy, and you're not wrong. It has been a theme that has come up in my conversations with folks.
It seems a bit Orwellian to me. Let's go back to the phone lines really quickly. John, can you give it to us in a minute or less? You're on, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, say, Dad talked about it's a message from God. It's not. I mean, this is nothing but a trick of Donald Trump. As you notice, he told them that they're coming after him because of MAGA. No, MAGA, they did not rape that woman. They did not lie. They did not cheat. They did not steal. And another thing about the Democrats. The Democrats should get off their butts and quit jumping on Joe Biden, get behind him, ride with him straight back to the White House. Because if Donald Trump gets in there, I don't care if it's me or anybody else or MAGA. Donald Trump is going to screw over everyone, even MAGA. He's just using them just to get back to the White House to do his dirty tricks.
I agree with you, John. Thank you so very much. I personally agree that I think that's to me, as a former Republican, that's kind of the joke, and it's really not funny that Trump doesn't really care about the issues of most of the people here. He cares about himself. That's my opinion. I know you're a reporter, Jack. Any final thoughts here? About a minute and a half left. Any final thoughts going on Wisconsin Watch or comments about the RNC you want to make?
Yeah, well, one that stood out to me from last night, Vice Presidential Candidate J.D. Vance, you know, officially accepts the party's nomination. Mm-hmm. It was a really interesting speech that he gave. You know, I think NPR called it Vance's first date with America. You know, half of Americans don't have an opinion of him. And I think that's interesting. And it was a much softer J.D. Vance. I mean, he's taken some pretty hardline stances. He is a fierce defender of the president. He is happy to go on the Sunday show and be a pit bull. I think we'll see more of that from the campaign. But it was interesting to see him kind of give this softer side to the American public last night.
It's a soft sell for sure, but be careful what people are selling you, audience. Jack Kelly, Wisconsin Watch, we'll have you back on to talk more about your projects there. Thanks for being so flexible and outstanding.
Thanks for having me.
Always great to have you here. Also, Christian Jensen of Denmark, the former foreign minister. Of course, our friend Kristen Bry over at WTMJ. Reed Galen, co-founder of the Lincoln Project. Mr. Zommers back getting it done in Madison. To all of you for listening, stay tuned. Maggie Dawn is next. Until tomorrow, we'll be back here again. Keep banging your drum.